Somebody texted in and said, you can change your tongue print. He said his cousin fell and cut hers, so it wasn't the same. So I suppose, yeah, I suppose anything can be altered if you just take a knife to it.
Ooh.
Right?
Hey, sounds like a painful way to alter.
Or maybe if you go into the grocery store and put your tongue to the in the freezer, to one of the shelves in the freezer,
right,
which I did as a kid. For whatever reason, I don't know.
Right.
I know, because it looked frosty, and I wanted to see,
It looks good.
Yeah, it does. It looks like a snow cone. See if that has any flavoring. Yeah, I left flavoring part of my tongue.
You were attached.
On there.
Ouch.
So, thank you for texting that in and making that point here on. So we move on to the Bob Almanac, Wednesday, October 18th, 291st day of the year. This date, 1767, the Mason and the Dixon line agreed upon. A lot of people call it Mason-Dixon line. Others call it the Mason and Dixon line or Masons and Dixon's line. Charles Mason and Jeremiah Dixon surveyed the line, and it was established on this date, 1767. It's a line of demarcation. Neil, we all should be lucky enough to have a line of demarcation.
Right.
But it separates four states, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, and West Virginia. There was a border dispute involving Maryland, Delaware, colonial people, and all kinds of stuff going on during that time. And
sent out surveyors, basically.
Yes, that's what they did. And they made the line. It's pretty darn straight.
Yeah, it is.
It's a straight line. And they could make straight lines back then, and that's a good thing. Good thing they didn't also have a moonshine still somewhere close, because that straight line, the Mason-Dixon line, might have been a little crooked.
Right.
And that is still used as the border of those states here. I think the Missouri Compromise came into play later on in the 1800s, somewhere in there, but Mason-Dixon line, and you hear that referenced a lot.
Sure.
And you know, when I first heard about the Mason-Dixon line, because they kind of said, well, it's a separation of North and South. And I feel, that's got to be somewhere, Tennessee?
Yeah, I would have thought
somewhere
it was
there.
Further
no,
south.
It's between Pennsylvania and Maryland. All right, moving on to the next item here today. 1867, the U.S. took formal possession of Alaska from Russia. And we bought the thing for $7.2 million.
It's a lot of money in the 1860s.
Yeah, it was just 2 cents per acre, and I think we made our investment back.
I bet we did.
We've gotten a lot out of Alaska.
Yep.
That was the state, 1867. 1898, just 31 years later, the U.S. took control of Puerto Rico. So apparently this is the day that we take control of areas that need to be taken control of. Alaska, and then we took control of Puerto Rico, which I suppose at some point in time that was under the offices of the Spanish.
I would think.
The Spanish were in control of Puerto Rico. And then, of course, you had the Spanish-American War. Remember the Maine and everything that was going on down that way, Puerto Rico, Cuba, etc. And Puerto Rico, to this date, is still just a territory.
Ooh, it is.
What is the reason they haven't become a state?
I don't know.
Any ideas of how Hawaii did?
Application not completely filled out. Something
that would be a good reason.
Yeah.
They can't get through all the red tape.
Right.
There's plenty of red tape as far as becoming statehood. Or we just don't want 51. It's like a league expanding.
Yeah.
Bringing in a new team or an expansion team. They want to have an even number of teams so everybody can play at the same time.
Yeah, I think some state would have to go if we brought in.
So, or we'd have to find another one. So maybe we'd do what Trump did and buy Greenland. And Greenland would be the 52nd state.
Right. They got to be on the market.
You would think. It's beautiful, beautiful land up there. Beautiful country.
Yeah.
So, 1969 this date.
We're going to the tip-off right now as Alcindor is ready. You see number 33, Lou. He is listed at 7 feet 1, but look at him next to 6'11", Walt Bellamy. Bellamy from Indiana. Alcindor, of course, from UCLA. This is his first professional basketball game, and the whole country has waited for it.
Yeah, the tip-off is underway, and of course, Lou Alcindor won that tip. Of course, he would shortly be known as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes.
He made his NBA debut this date, 1969. Not a bad debut. His Bucks against the Detroit Pistons, 29 points, 12 rebounds. And the Bucks beat the Pistons 119-110. Would he lead the Bucks to a world championship?
Yeah,
Didn't they win a world championship
a couple years
later? And then, of course, he
with the big O, Oscar Robertson was on that team.
What a combo that is.
Yeah, that turned out to be good.
And then, of course, Kareem then went to the Lakers, and that HBO Max Lakers
Celtics
documentary thing is still on, and it's going. The new season has started, and it's very good. John C. Riley's in it. He plays the owner of the Lakers.
Oh, nice.
Whatever his name is. Jerry Buss. Remember Jerry Buss?
Yep.
He is very good. This date, 1969. How about in 74 in theaters?
Benji, a delightfully different motion picture starring Peter Brecht, Christopher Conley, Patsy Garrett, Tom Lester, Mark Slade, Deborah Wally, and Herb Vigran, with special guest appearances by Francis Bavier, Edgar Buchanan.
Aunt B is in the Benji movie.
And right? Uncle Joe.
Yes, and Uncle Joe. Don't forget about Benji. We forget about Benji.
Yeah,
we talk about some of the great dog actors and movies and programs. Benji was all that, and then some.
Yeah, there's more than just Lassie.
How could you not love Benji?
Yeah.
The
Shaggy Dog.
Yes, the first Benji's real name was Higgins. The dog's name was Higgins, who played Benji.
Okay.
1974. And then any dog that looks like that, you call it a Benji.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that has been the case. Oh, that's you got yourself a Benji there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mixed breed little dog. 1974 in theaters. And Benji did TV shows and movies.
Ooh.
They did a remake of it, I want to say, 5, 6, 7 years ago or so.
Ooh.
Benji.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
1974. This date on SNL.
So, Artie, you've come crawling back.
It's very nice that you would invite me on your show, Paul. Thanks a lot.
The movies are over now? Little two-part harmony?
I'll try it again, see if it works this time.
It was the reunion that everybody wanted.
For sure.
I'm just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told.
Simon and Garfunkel got back together.
Wow, they are so good together.
On Saturday Night Live, two-part harmony. It seems like it's working again for them.
Yeah.
It was season one of Saturday Night. It wasn't Saturday Night Live just yet. And it was the next year that Paul Simon dressed up in the turkey outfit.
Okay.
It was Thanksgiving of 76 that Simon
had
done that as well, singing Crazy after all these years, which I believe, were you here for when we had that clip?
I think I was.
Yeah, it was on Paul Simon's birthday. So Simon and Garfunkel reuniting, and it felt so good, I'm sure.
It did.
1975. How about 77?
Reggie Jackson.
Long time right field.
A big World Series for Reggie Jackson, despite all the palaver about his discontent with Billy Martin.
Who's the play-by-play man there, Howard Cosell or Keith Jackson?
Well,
supposed to be
Keith Jackson.
But Howard, he liked to take over. Be tough to work in a booth with him.
It would.
Somehow, some way, they were able to make it work. Because they probably made more money because of Howard.
Yeah,
so
they did.
Just, Reggie Jackson, this is when he became known as Mr. October. 3 consecutive home runs on 3 pitches.
That's ridiculous.
Against the Dodgers in Game 6 of the World Series.
Hitting one or two of them off Welch.
Yes.
Bob
and
Welch.
And I think one was off Charlie Huff.
Okay.
Charlie Huff, the knuckleballer, came in as well. The Yankees beat the Dodgers 8-4. They clinched the World Series 4-2. Of course, Reggie was the MVP, and then he got a candy bar out of the deal.
Yeah,
and
he did well off that.
That was their 21st World Series championship. They would go on to win 4 more before the end of the century. So they won 25 World Series in the 20th century. That's 1/4. Think about that for the Yankees. 1/4 of the World Series. And there's one of them that wasn't, because whatever, 94, there was no World Series. So, and I think the first real World Series wasn't until 1903. So there wasn't even a full 100 World Series, and they won more than a quarter of them.
That's impressive.
That's pretty impressive, it is. Speaking of impressive, how about the Phillies? They had like a bunch of home runs again. They have 16 home runs in their last 5 games in the playoffs.
They are just pounding the ball right now.
And the last 13 have all been solo home runs. 13 straight solo home runs. Which is kind of what baseball is now.
Yeah, it is.
Nobody's taking walks or just getting on base for the sake of getting on base. They're all swinging for the downs.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Schwarber is the guy. He's got some strength, some power.
Oh, and Castellanos and Harper, they're all hitting home runs.
1987.
Good evening and welcome to Pumping Up with Hans and Franz, the informative training program for the serious weightlifter.
Hello, let us begin by introducing ourselves. I am Hans.
And I'm Franz.
And we want to pump you up.
Yes, Hans and Franz.
The inspiration.
The inspiration. Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon, Hans and Franz, first appearance on SNL this date, 1987. And what a good bit it was.
They want to pump
of course,
you up.
They were basically, of course, characterizing, it was a caricature of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
And I think they claimed to be the cousin of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then later on, as it became more popular, Arnold actually showed up on the skit.
Love it.
Which was classic. So that was a state. Welcome to the fun, Hans and Franz.
Oh, just genius.
Yes. 1992.
I don't understand you, but God knows I love you. You're my man.
This is country great Lynn Anderson.
Yes, it is.
I feel so
probably should do a fave five of hers if I have never done one. Probably have. But this date, Lynn Anderson released from jail in 1992. She had to serve 2 days in Nashville for contempt of court because she swore in front of her children.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if there was there some kind of a court order that she couldn't swear in front of her children? Was Lynn Anderson a habitual swearer and just couldn't control her foul mouth?
I mean,
was she in court with her children? Yeah. Maybe she was in court with her children. Maybe it was a divorce hearing. I'd have to look more into it. Of course, this is all conjecture. I'm kind of making up as we go, but this kind of makes sense. Maybe she was in jail with her kids. Might have been something about custody or something. I don't know what their family situation was at the time in 92, but maybe she swore. The children were there, and the judge took exception. Maybe he's an old school judge who doesn't like swearing in front of kids, and he goes, You can't swear in front of kids. I'm going to charge you with contempt of court. You're going to jail, lady.
Right.
I don't care how many country hits you had.
Right.
I don't care about Rose Garden. I don't care that thing sold a billion copies. I'm the judge, and I rule over in this room, and you're going to jail, Lynn Anderson.
We do not condone that.
No, not at all. So then 2019.
Let me know when you're clear for me to start.
Traveling at 17,000 miles per hour, it was all business for astronauts Jessica Meir and Christina Cook wearing the red tether, replacing a failed power system on the space station.
Do I have control of the battery?
But today's milestone not lost on either woman. The first all-female spacewalk ever.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Ooh. First ever female, all-female spacewalk. They took a little walk. And they were outside the ISS. Christina Cook and Jessica Meir. Congratulations to them.
Yeah, it's quite an accomplishment.
4 years ago today.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into birthdays now. If two guys are going on a walk together, do they chit-chat as much as two ladies? Do you think they chit-chatted up there while they were fixing the International Space Station?
I would think there was.
Maybe some gossip was shared.
Right.
Fixing the International Space Station. It's serious stuff.
I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, it's highly technical, but...
He's the coach.
I get pumped up and excited. It's going to take that kind of excitement and pumped up and that's going to be the blood's got to be going, and everything's got to be working for Sunday night. You know, we're going roller dome. I just don't like indoor domes. They weren't meant for football. Football is meant to be played outside and on grass. Indoor domes should be used for roller rinks. That's all they should be for.
And people could.
Roller skating.
Yeah, he did not like the Metrodome. And then after he made those comments, remember what Mike Lynn did?
He got rollers.
He sent him rollerblades.
Oh, nice.
He sent him a box, a pair of rollerblades, and then there's video of Ditka rollerblading through the Chicago Bears offices. And then I think they beat us that Sunday night. So there was this big pump. This had to be 88, 89, somewhere in there, 87 maybe. I don't think we played them 87 on a Sunday night. I don't even know if they had done Sunday night football until later on.
Right.
But at some point in time, that's when that happened. And Mike Lynn sent him some... Ditka was the best.
He was. He great sound bites.
Yeah. He didn't take any. He didn't give a bleep.
Yeah, nope.
He didn't take any crap.
Nope.
You know, if you asked a dumb question as a reporter, guess what? He'd call you out on it.
Right on.
And Mike Ditka.
Still with us.
You're my Ditka. He's 84 today. Here's a guy who gave a Skynet.
It's not every day that you find out you're responsible for 3 billion deaths. He took it pretty well.
I feel like I'm going to throw up.
Yeah, he took it really well. He was a good parent because he allowed his son to wear a twins cap in Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Remember that? It was his kid. He's wearing the twins cap. You know, that was a little after the 91 World Series. So they had twins fever. That's Joe Morton. He's 76. When you started out with nothing and you're proud of you're a serving man. One of the co-founders of Steeler's Wheel, Joe Egan. Of course, Jerry Rafferty was the other half, and he does more of the lead singing.
Right.
And of course, would go on to his own little right
solo.
On down the line and right. Baker Street. But Joe Egan, one of the co-founders of Steeler's Wheel, 74 today.
You know, I still can't get over this. I'm sitting here having breakfast with a being from another planet.
What a coincidence. So am I.
She was Mindy, and she was there to help introduce the comedic genius of Robin Williams on Mork and Mindy.
Imagine what she heard.
Well, yeah.
In the course of that.
Just think of acting with him. I mean, you had to go with the flow.
Sure.
Really. Pam Dauber is 72.
She was great.
Here's today's sports hero, Martina Navratilova.
That's easy for you to say. Martina Navratilova, 67. Of course, that is Sid and his world famous today's sports hero blooper.
Right.
Which Navratilova, because you can say it both ways. It's Navratilova or Navratilova.
Navratilova.
There's two ways to say it, basically, and it's been said both ways by sports people for decades. She is 67 today.
And she was a pretty good player.
Sid just could not spit it out.
No.
And that's fine. There are
he
many that
tried
can't.
Many, many times.
And we are honoring him for that. Long lost. Rest in peace. Long live. Sid Hartman.
For sure.
Martina Navratilova. My favorite thing, and I was trying to look for the clip where on SNL's Weekend Update, I can't remember if it was Kevin Nealon or Norm Macdonald, or they put a picture of Martina Navratilova on the screen with her tennis racket at a tennis tournament, and they go, in a stunning development today, John Denver trying his hand on the pro tennis tour. Because with her cut and her glasses, she looked a lot like John Denver.
Right.
Or Cousin Oliver from the Brady Bunch, too.
Sure.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, Jean-Claude Van Damme, I'm fine!
Jean-Claude Van Damme, not quite as fine as Will Smith, though. He's 63 today. Our rapper of the day is Baby Bash, 48. Baby Bash, our rapper.
Sure.
Finish line is in view there. You see the stands. One big jump to come near the bottom here. Over the hot air, perfectly landed, down to the finish line, chasing her teammate, Mancuso Lindsey Vaughn, into the lead by more than a half second.
Tim Bryant's a great play-by-play guy. There is the call, and Lindsey Vaughn has just won gold. Winning gold, Vancouver 2010, Minnesota native, cut her teeth and sharpened her her skis at Buck Hill.
Yeah, for sure.
Lindsey Vaughn, 39.
What is this, lifeguard hazing? I'm Matt Brody. I hold the world record in the 200 meter. Two gold medals.
Hey!
Matt Brody.
Matt Brody, yes! Yes, absolutely. We still
don't give up.
Yes, Zac Efron, a lot of movies, and that's the Baywatch movie.
Sure.
The Rock is hilarious in the Baywatch movie. He's 36.
Ray, people will come, Ray.
Brittany Griner, 33 today. Currently playing with the Phoenix Mercury, and of course, finally was released from a Russian prison where she was detained.
Right.
After breaking their drug laws, which she did break, but again, they held her probably longer than the actual crime would warrant.
Right.
But
her voice?
Yeah, she's got a low voice.
I know she does.
Brittany Griner, 33.
Gone, but not forgotten. Right out of the gate, it's TV theme time. You know, they had Robert Bobby Fuller, and they also had Bobby Troop. He was Dr. Joe Early on the fine television program at Rampart.
He was based at Rampart.
Bobby Troop, born on this day, 1918. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. He did the duck walk. He could do it all. Chuck Berry.
When I was a little bitty boy, my grandmother bought me a cute little toy. Silver bells
a favorite
hanging
of yours.
On a
yes,
string. She told me it was my ding-a-ling-a-ling-oh.
Whoever came up with that song.
That was genius.
Who wrote that?
Yeah, good stuff. 1926 for the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. All those great songs. From the 50s.
All those great songs, and I pick my ding-a-ling.
Right.
Right.
Right. Didn't you want that for your prom or something?
Yeah, school song.
School
song. A senior school song.
Right. My ding-a-ling.
It ended up being, living on a prayer.
Something like
what
that.
Kind of message is that?
Yeah.
Living on a prayer, Bon Jovi?
My ding-a-ling.
It could have been my ding-a-ling.
Far superior.
Yes.
Academy Award-winning actor, he'll always be Patton to me, George C. Scott.
What about as Scrooge?
Oh, he was great as Scrooge.
I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. My taxes help to support the public institutions, which I have mentioned, and they cost enough. Those who are badly off must go there.
Many can't go there, and many would rather die.
If they would rather die, perhaps they had better do so and decrease the surplus population.
Surely you don't mean that.
That is brutal.
One of the great lines by Scrooge. I mean, he was a pull-no-punches guy, kind of like that guy.
Yes, he was, yeah.
And did not care. He was great as Scrooge in so many things. Fine actor. George C. Scott.
And surprisingly, he was very good at the two-minute offense.
Yes. Well, there you go. 1927. And we just heard from him, although he was overshadowed somewhat by Howard Cosell, the great Keith Jackson.
One of the premier games in college football about to be played. Nearly 100,000 faithful will huddle today in East Tennessee to shout Roll Tide to the deepest regions of the Smokies and dance to Rocky Top. Until there is no energy left.
Sweet poetry.
Wow, he was the greatest. We enjoyed Keith Jackson, and he would have been old today. He was born on this day, same year as my father, 1928. The tremendously talented Peter Boyle, he was in movies, and of course, Everybody Loves Raymond. He was tremendous as the monster in Young Frankenstein and others. Peter Boyle.
He gets that from you. You with your dirty magazines.
One Playboy.
For 29 years? I mean, who keeps pornography for 29 years?
Anyone married to you.
Oh, he was so great. He and Doris Roberts were just a great pair.
They were a fine husband and wife team. Born on this day in 1935, the very talented Peter Boyle. Also, 1938, did you prefer Ginger or Marianne? It's Marianne's birthday today.
It depends on the day, really.
Yeah. Listen to my idea. We'll catch some fish, we'll write messages on their side with waterproof paint, and then we'll release them. Well, some fisherman somewhere is bound to catch one of them, and the messages will get back to civilization.
Talk about silly ideas. The only one who'll get those messages are the other fish.
I think your idea is for the birds.
Yeah, and I say it depends on the day. I mean, there were some days where Lovey Howell.
Right.
Would do it for me.
Right, exactly. The one of the ladies of Gilligan's Island, the actress Dawn Wells, who played Marianne, was born on this day in 1938. He was accused and, most believe, assassinated President John F. Kennedy, Lee Harvey Oswald, and that did not work out for him.
Well, the question is, did he work alone?
Right. Who was the second shooter on the grassy knoll? 1939. And one more. I know a favorite of yours, too, from Happy Days and Joni Loves Chachi. She was Joni, Erin Moran.
Gee, Patsy, you should act this nice all the time. Then people wouldn't think you're such a nerd.
Yeah, he's a nerd.
He's a nerd.
And he's a bucko. And then you got to tell him to sit on it.
Yeah, all of those things would come into play pretty much in every episode. Erin Moran, we lost her sadly at a very young age.
Yes.
Born on this day, 1960. They're gone. But not forgotten.
Bob-a-thon selection, very important. Maybe the most important decision you'll make all day long, Neil.
Right.
Merle Haggard, Mama Tried. Alabama, She Ain't Your Ordinary Girl. Or, oh, I need to find a faster one here. I'm Just Talking About Tonight, Toby Keith, sure. Is your third option.
I'm feeling Alabama today. I want to roll Tide.
Okay.
WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDBG, Albany.